Good day, fellow rescuers. I'm Dave Darrapole. I'm here at FDIC 2021, and it's Extrication Radio Live from there. Want to talk to you about a couple things that going on. Obviously, the hot sessions have finished here at FDIC, so be sure to check them out on FDIC's pages of their media, both photos and videos. There's some great shots of all the different kinds of things that were going on in the extrication world. Today, I want to talk to you about a couple of things that are going on in the world of vehicle rescue and motorsports rescue. Last week, we finished up at North in Maine. We delivered the very first rally safety awareness program for marshals and workers. That was done by myself and fellow instructors from Roadway Rescue. This program is going to be one of the tiered programs in the SFI Foundation of Incident Response Programs. It's going to be the initial, so to speak, of the programs that are already there. So this program that we delivered will be the initial step. Just like NFPA's tiered approach for their educational programs, awareness, operations, and technician. Well, this is the initial program for rally safety. So this is for marshals and workers. It's to give them a little bit of safety training. So when they're out on special stages, they know what to do in the case of someone has a significant bleed. If somebody goes into cardiac arrest, it's to give them situational awareness, what to do, how to work around cars, how to work around any kind of incident that happens to them so they can work safely. And how to actually remove a driver or co-driver from a vehicle safely and correctly. So instead of doing a program that's online where basically they do a structured test, we decided to deliver a program where they actually have a hands-on environment, so to speak. So they get some skills, some knowledge, and then an application to deliver those skills so they can gain some confidence when they're out there, regardless of what prior training or education they have. This way, regardless of what background they have, they all start off with the same type of education and training. So this was the beta test, so to speak. We're going to run another test of this type of education at the next ARA, that's the American Rally Association national event at Wellsboro, Pennsylvania. That's the STPR rally in September 17th and 18th. We're going to be doing that education there for their course marshals and workers for their program. Hopefully, SFI will adopt it and bring it in line with the other two programs that are part of their rally safety educational programs that, and by the way, we also developed those two programs. That's the operational level. The operations level is a two-day program. And basically what it's for are for the emergency workers and the sweep crew. It takes them through what is a rally, all the different components that make up a performance rally, patient management and mitigation, fire suppression, vehicle extrication, rigging. Now, rigging in the effect of how to remove vehicles properly, because obviously most rallies are done off-road and it requires some knowledge base other than the traditional fire service application of ropes and rigging. This rigging is more in lines of more of towing applications, so to speak. And then mass care, because the possibility of spectator injuries is more so there, because spectators are not in bleachers or seating, so to speak. They're out in the woods or out in the grass or whatever the place are for where they run the rally. So there's chances of the cars possibly hitting spectators. So you need to know mass gathering issues and such like that. And then the third level of training is basically a train the trainer and a technician level kind of wrapped up into one. So this new class that we performed last week is that initial level. So we'll have a total tier approach in conjunction with our SFI partners. So in also in doing with this class, we also we provided fire rescue coverage for the New England Forest Rally up at Sunday River Resort in Bethel, Maine. So fortunately, there was no fires, no injuries, no crashes that had any injuries. So that was good. Unfortunately, for some of the more well-known drivers in rally, Travis Pastrana, Ken Block, those drivers crashed and were out pretty much at the last stage of the rally. So they didn't finish and they crashed in significant ways. If you look at their social media feeds, you'll see how they crashed. But unfortunately, rally is that way, and rally is very tough on both vehicles and the drivers and co-drivers. So, you know, rally, that's the way it works. So what I'm doing here at FDIC, well, I'm doing a classroom presentation this year. We're talking about operational considerations, dealing with technology issues at today's highway incidents. And basically, while everybody talks about all these different types of technology concerns, I'm going to give you basically how to resolve some of these problems. There are different ways to resolve them. I'm going to give you some different ideas and concepts, how you want to deal with that. That's up to you. But basically going to give you a best practices approach, how they should be approached at, how you want to get there. That's up to you. And that's the way it should be. As long as it's done safely, that's the important part. The important part is to get to that goal. And that's why we want to leave it flexible. So the initiative is up to the different individuals, different departments. The more structured you make it, the more regulated you make it, it kind of stifles initiative, at least I feel. So the end result and the fact that if you make it safe, that's the important part. So I'm going to talk about, obviously, safety systems. One of the most important thing is about different construction and materials, because that I still feel, even though I've been talking about it for 20 years, I think that's the biggest foe out of all of this. And it kind of rivals up there with the different firematic issues with electric vehicles and hybrids. I still feel that extrication concerns with electrics and hybrids are really a non-starter kind of issue. The cables and all that kind of good stuff are not really in the way of any kind of extrication problems, except in the fact of trunk tunneling and with Teslas doing dash evolutions or lifting because of the floor being the battery, the high voltage battery of Teslas. So that's a problem. But otherwise, the true problem with electrics and hybrids are the firematic issue, especially electrics, with the fact that their high voltage battery pack is made up of lithium power cells. And lithium power cells are not a user-friendly in our field device. For now, really the most effective medium for fire suppression is water. And water is not always the greatest method. It requires a mass quantity and a large application, preferably as much as possible all at once. And that doesn't always work. So that requires us to do it for a longer period of time, because not only do we have to use it to suppress the fire, but the true fact of the matter is, not only do you need to suppress the fire, but you also need to cool the battery pack. And that's something that most people don't realize, that those two have to go hand in hand to mitigate the problem. So the nature of the beast, unfortunately, is that fact, that you need to not only suppress the fire, but you need to cool the high voltage battery pack. And that's those are of equal importance for electric vehicles. So remember that fact when you have to deal with these. And the other part of this is, what are you actually dealing with when you get there? Because not all these vehicles are scream, I'm an electric vehicle. 20 some years ago, when hybrids first came out on the scene, they were an unusual looking vehicle in relation to all the other vehicles that were on the market. They kind of screamed, look at me, I'm odd. that was great then. But unfortunately now, that's not so. They look like every other vehicle that's out on the market. So that's problematic for us to figure out what exactly, what's an electric, what's a hybrid, and what's a conventional drivetrain. Because some vehicles can be one or the other. Hyundai's are a good example. The Hyundai Kona can be, just by swapping the drivetrain and a little bit of badging and trim, can be either an electric, a hybrid, or a conventional drivetrain. And rolling up on it, you got to figure out which is what. Unless you're a car nut or a gearhead, what am I looking at here? Plastic melts pretty quickly, and that's what badging is. And with the fact that most vehicles today are a significant fire load because of plastic and combustible alloy, cars burn pretty readily, and they burn pretty hot, and they burn pretty rapidly. The other thing with one of the things that I want to mention with this is, not all electric vehicle fires are a high voltage battery fire. That's one of the misnomers of this. People assume right away that it is an electric battery pack fire. Most vehicle fires with electric vehicles are not the high voltage battery pack. You can have charging station fires, you can have 12 volt related fires, you can have all the other kind of component fires that are out there. Thermal runaway, and that's a term that's used a lot and gets thrown around a lot. Those type of fires with the high voltage battery are not a high percentage. Thermal runaway is a significant fire. The analogy that with thermal runaway, one of the best ways that I can relate to you with this is, one of the engineers had described it to me as Godzilla basically putting his head to the side or to the back of the vehicle and basically breathing atomic breath out underneath the vehicle is the best way to describe thermal runaway. And from what I've seen of actual thermal runaway fires of vehicles, that's a pretty good description, because it's a significant fire. and it's dramatic in that fact. So that's not a bad description at all. You'd be really surprised of what it would look like. Well, then we take that and we put that same type of fire in a house, a parking deck, like a parking garage. That will be a significant problem because not only is it a large fire, but it's a hot fire. It's much hotter than a normal type of vehicle fire. We're talking in the range of over 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit. So spalling concrete, involving other vehicles just from radiant heat alone, that's a wow factor. So that's something to think about. So enough of vehicle fire and electric vehicles. An interesting thing for this FDIC, Tesla's actually manning a booth here. I know my good friend Mike McConnell from Tesla, who's the master trainer for emergency response and one of the their primary investigators for incidents involving their vehicles, is here to talk about Teslas. So those of you that are here at FDIC and want to learn more about Teslas and those issues revolving around Teslas, make sure you stop in at their booth and talk to Mike. Mike is a wealth of awesome information, not only about Teslas, but electric vehicles in general, especially emergency information. Also, extrication-wise, one of the things to kind of put a plug in, those of you that are on the East Coast, especially in Metro New York area, in November 20th and 21st, Jersey, there's a weekend program called Jersey Rescue Days that's going to be running. Saturday is going to be a presentation day from about 8 different presenters of different topics. Saturday or Sunday will be hands-on. We'll be having brand new vehicles to cut up, along with some other interesting topics for hands-on extrication. So watch for the Eventbrite notices, or I should say notices to come out on social media to direct you to the Eventbrite page for to come to that event. So it'll be, and those of you that have come to Jersey Rescue Days in the past, it'll be a step up above those and even more so. Let's see, what else can we talk about extrication wise? How about in the field of motorsports rescue? One of the things that's been going on in the field of motorsports rescue, the International Council of Motorsport Sciences, they've been delivering a monthly educational program called the ICMS Cafe. Now, this ICMS Cafe is free to anyone that signs up. Basically, you have to look for that, look for on different social media posts, whether it's Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, or directly from the ICMS.org page. You click on it. It's a Zoom program, usually the last Wednesday of every month, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time in the afternoon. It's a variety of different topics so far, and it varies around different aspects of motorsports rescue. It's taken from, for whether it's medical, whether it's from fire rescue. It's been all sorts of really interesting topics, and it's gone in depth The first hour is on that topic, and then the second hour is basically a pit road get together. It breaks out into different virtual rooms where you can speak to the different people on the panel. You can chat with different individuals from around the globe, and it's usually has about 100 different individuals, like I said, from all over the globe, and you get to interact with different people, different topics and stuff like that. So it's, for being free, it's an excellent opportunity if you're in that particular field to do that. So I would highly recommend it. And it's a fairly good, it's a fairly decent time in the afternoon, like I said, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, to get there. I know it's a Zoom, but one of the things that at least Zoom has allowed us to do is to make things like that available for people around the globe to gather, chat, talk about things, share files, share pictures, share topics. So Zoom, in that respect, I know Zoom is kind of like really, it's got kind of gotten long in the tooth, so to speak, for some of our educational things. But in other ways, it's really opened doors in other ways for access. I think it's great in that respect that I'm able to access friends and colleagues that normally I wouldn't be able to access but once or twice a year. So that's why I like Zoom. I'm out of what to think to say, Tammy.
Have you seen anything new at the show?
I haven't been out to the show yet.
Oh, okay. Well, it's true. It's just open.
It just opened.
You looking forward to seeing anyone?
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing all of the vendors that we use for Roadway Rescue. I'm looking forward to seeing all the different vendors for new things. I know that I'm looking forward to seeing what some of the powered hydraulic rescue tool manufacturers have, what new is out. Paratech is one, Homatro, Hurst. I'm also looking forward to seeing some of the secondary tools like Ajax Air Tools, to see what any, if some of their new products, because even though, like, for example, Ajax produces some awesome air operated tools. Those tools, while they're in their niche, there's really market wise, there's nothing else that does what they do. So they're an important tool in their own right. PPE is another one. Looking for helmets and gear is always important, and gloves. But also other things, wedding agents are important for fire suppression. I think what's going to happen, because traditional class A class B foam doesn't work well on lithium fires, lithium power cell fires. So but wedding agents, from using wedding agents like Fire Aid or Firebull, which is the PFOA friendly version of Fire Aid, works exceptionally well on combustible alloy fires like magnesium and mag aluminum. Those I'm going to investigate more, because I think if anything is going to work well on fires involving lithium battery packs, that's the direction that's going to work, those type of agents. And it's amazing what you can do. Last month, no, actually, it'll be, because we're in August now, June, June, we taught a rally operations level class, and we showed what you can do with a pressurized water can with fire aid in it. And we put out an entire vehicle fire with contents of one water can. So it's just the application shows what one water can do with the right agent and the right application. So Enforcer products, that's the CAF system that's in my truck. That's spectacular for such a small system to be able to do what it does. It's just, it's cool technology and stuff even that, because I've been doing this for 38 years, the technology that I see today that I would have never thought about 38 years ago is just amazing to see today.
Been discussing that a lot lately. Guys went from big floppy disks to something you hold in your hand.
Exactly. Oh, and that's a good thing that you mentioned that, because one of the things that I'm going to talk about in my classroom session is having on-scene hazard information for the vehicles they encounter. There's smartphone and tablet apps that carry around on your smartphone. You can carry the entire database of all the vehicles in North America on your phone. And all you got to do to search a vehicle that's in front of you is either you take a picture of the license plate or tap in the license plate into the phone, and it'll bring up the correct vehicle on your phone in glass cutaway where all the hazards are, in color-coded colors, and it's a touchscreen type of thing. So say you wanted to find out, it shows you where the advanced steels or composite materials are. So you touch on it, and it'll tell you what it is, what it's made of, and how much force you need to sever it. Where the 12-volt battery is, and say it's an alternative fuel vehicle, like an electric or a hybrid. The first thing that'll, once it identifies the car, the first screen that comes up, it'll tell you that this is an alternative fuel vehicle. And it'll tell you the primary way to shut it down, secondary and tertiary way, by text and by graphics. So if there's, it will show you pictures live on the car, where to go and how to shut it off. Like I said, primary, secondary, tertiary. I mean,
in your hand.
That's fantastic. And that's really what you need today, now. And that's fantastic. That's what you need. And now, besides that on your phone, there's two manufacturers that actually put QR codes that you can scan with your phone that has the information on the car itself. Mercedes is one, General Motors is the other, but just on their alternative fuel vehicles. So on the door jamb, on the driver's side, above the door latch, so it means you got to open the door, or the fuel door or charging port door is the other. So hopefully damage-wise, you can get access to one side or the other, but you just scan the QR code and it comes up. And what it'll show you is the exact same thing like I just described, because basically that glass cutaway feature thing is made by the same company. So they just, instead of reinventing the wheel, they just buy the information for them. So it's the same thing. And Mercedes has been doing this since November of 2013. So all the new cars since then have had it. But what Mercedes has done, any older cars that come into a dealership for service, they retrofit the older cars with the correct stickers. So in theory, anything that's older that's been a Mercedes dealer will have the right sticker. on the older cars from 2013. So, there was an interesting classroom presentation yesterday, and unfortunately I missed it, but it dealt with helmets for rescuers on the highway. And the reason why is a department in Texas had a group of firefighters that were struck by a vehicle that they were working at a motor vehicle accident, and their crew got hit by a car, and they sustained a bunch of head injuries because of the helmets that they were wearing. And I read the article, I believe it was in November of last year's Fire Engineering, and they did testing on helmets, of different helmets that were worn, and it showed that the traditional fire service helmets were very poor and lended towards head injuries from being struck by a car. So that was a good example of what even I've been able to show for motorsports, because definitely one of the things that you need as a motorsports responder to look at is the same issue helmet-wise, because it's the same type of single strap arrangement, just like a fire service helmet. So that was a really good eye-opening article. And then unfortunately, because I had other obligations, I couldn't make the classroom presentation. But the article was eye-opening. I'm glad they were able to do a classroom presentation here on that, because that's something you never think about. It ended up that technical rescue helmets that you use for USAR training or rope rescue is actually the best type of helmet for being out on the roadway. And there's actually, I did research for my own instructors for roadway rescue, and the only helmet in the world that actually is tested and certified for side impacts and rear impacts is a helmet from Austria, from a company called Fanner. It's called the Protos, and its main application, believe it or not, is for arborists, for tree workers. So here's a helmet that's ANSI rated and rated for tree workers, and it's also now rated for fire service because of they've seen it used for rescue over in Europe. So, but that's the only helmet in the world that has side impact and rear impact test ratings. Go figure. And it's interesting too, because not only does it have the face shield and the eye goggles like many of the jet fighter pilot arrangement helmets that are made today, but it also has flip down hearing protectors that slide up and up inside the helmet. So you would never know that it's got regular earmuffs that you just flick and they pop down on top of your ears for hearing protection too. So I thought that was interesting. And unfortunately, just like everything else that's great for safety and protection and is cool technology, it's expensive too. You never can get anything reasonably well. And then what is reasonably priced anymore? So, because it's a Kevlar helmet, just like Team Wendy or Pacific helmets or whichever, anything that's really good, really appropriate, they're all in the same ballpark price-wise. So, that's all I could think about. I think that's pretty good.
It is. coming and joining us today.
No problem. No problem. I think that that covers quite a bit of different stuff, but it helps out some of the vendors too and talks a little bit about some of my classes and some of the new stuff that I'm doing.
Well, hopefully if people are here, they'll come take your class.
Yeah, I hope so too. I mean, I was worried about being in the last slot of Thursday, last slot of today, because usually that's when the show opens, 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock, and then it's open late on Thursdays. But I was shocked to see it's open at 11 o'clock today. So maybe it won't be so bad. Maybe I'll get my normal kind of attendance, which is usually fills the room. So I can't complain.
Any last words? And I'll sign us off.
Let me think for a second. Let me gather my thoughts. Okay. So in wrapping up for today, I want you all as fellow car slayers, be safety conscious. Isolate power in vehicles today. Make sure when you do your size up, move seats back, roll down windows, operate all those power accessories before you kill the power to the vehicle. Pull trim. Make sure you pull trim before you cut through parts of the vehicle. That's really important. Even though you might have, you've depowered all the safety systems and such like that, if there's still gas in the gas generator for side curtains and stuff like that, if you cut through it, it'll still go bang. So please pull trim. Don't cut through live gas generators. Make sure that you have shatter resistant cutting shields. With the advent of advanced steels and composites, you need shatter resistant cutting shields, because those different types of materials, when you sever them, they have debris that flies with energy. They're not like the steels of old because of them being brittle. Make the appropriate space, maximum space, first time out. That's important. Don't try and cut yourself or your patient first time out short. Maximum space, first time around. A door pop today alone doesn't do the job. Maximum space. And with that, enjoy FDIC. I'm Dave Dalrymple for Extrication Radio and Fire Engineering. Have a great day.